Because I'm gonna, it's a 100% guarantee for answered prayer. I'm gonna, it's a 100% foolproof, guaranteed answer to prayer. And I have been implementing this in my life, and it's just been very wonderful. It's been very freeing. And so I'm going to ask you, first of all, I'm using Psalm 25, verses 4 through 15 as a jumping off port. It says, there's a private place reserved for the lovers of God. That's really what it's all about, guys. Where is my heart? Where are my passions? Where are my desires? Where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Rescue me, Lord, for you're my only hero. I love that. We have so many superheroes and all these things, and he's my only hero. So if you'd like to turn in your pew Bible to page 320 to 321, I'm going to read to you from 2 Chronicles 20, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 30. So if you want to follow along with me on that, I'd be happy for you to. I'm going to try to read it kind of quickly. And when I read it quickly, then I'm going to go in and we're going to break this down a little bit. So if you have a pen to go with your notes tonight, I just believe that the Lord's going to have some really good things to share for you, because I've been feasting at the table and it's been pretty good. But you know, I got to eat what I serve, so I can tell you. It's just as salty enough to preserve, and it's just sweet enough to go down good. So here we go. Now after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Menuhites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now he's the king of Judah. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who's in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Now, he's not questioning God. He's just reaffirming who, hey, aren't you the one? Yes, all power. So don't think he's questioning. He's just saying, yeah, you are. He backs it up. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They've lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague of famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they're repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. That's important because a Levite means a priest, and Asaph was the one who went out and led. Many times you'll read in Psalms a hymn of Asaph. He was a singer. In verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Stay with me on this portion because many people know that and they can quote that, but guys, there's some real fundamentals here. Let me read it again. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against him. They will be climbing up the paths of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight the battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. And as they sat out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off all their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Barak, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the Valley of Barak to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. And they entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. And the fear of God came upon all the kingdoms of the countries when they had heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Very quickly, I'm just going to give you a couple of points of reference for some things that I saw in this. The first thing is that the faithfulness to trust and obey God over fear is always going to revisit you in your future. You're going to have an opportunity to obey and trust God. And guys, if we are faithful, if we do it, you're going to revisit that in your future. And if we're not, if we just, I have my plans and my ways, you're still going to revisit that in the future, because everything that God is doing for us is for us to benefit us, and it's going to be a part of our future. Distress is a welcome mat to the presence of God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call out to me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about." But I want to tell you something. All these trials, all this distress is nothing more than aligning you for a new revelation of victory and a new depth of understanding of who God is and what he's provided for you. Can I get an amen to that? I'm telling you, he's so faithful. We need to recognize attempts to bypass trusting God are admitting our fear or doubt are from the enemy. Any attempt that he's going to use fear and doubt, which to me are mistrust and a fear of failure on our part, or God's. And whenever those things come, I want you to recognize something. The light will always overcome the darkness. The light will always overcome the darkness. So you need to recognize whenever you're really fearful or in doubt, right then go, "Oh, this is a trick. This is to get me to bypass what God wants and to freak out instead of seek out the presence of God." So I need to realize that pride inflates self-confidence and it deflates confidence in God. Pride is always going to inflate self-confidence and it'll deflate God's confidence in him. 1 John 2:16. says if we have this pride, we're not looking for the Father. Proverbs 8:13 says, fear of the Lord is to hate evil and pride. And Proverbs 16:18 talks about how pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I know that people say that the Lord, there's a lot of things he doesn't care about that we do on this earth. And that may be true, but I'm telling you, there's many times I've been for a team that was playing, especially if it was my son pitching or something going on, and something would happen, I'd see him getting cocky, and I'd be like, oh, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before fall. They fixing to get it. And I quote that a lot of times when we're watching sports. Well, last night I was working in the other side of the house doing some stuff, and Steve's mom, Bernice, who will be 92 next week, she came over to the other side of the house, and she's like, you won't believe this. She said, Boston got a grand slam tonight. You know, I was like, really? And it's kind of bittersweet because we think you should be for a Texas team if your team's not in it. But, you know, I like Boston. I've just always liked them because when you're from Arkansas, you don't get to watch certain programs on this side. You have to watch their teams. So anyway, she said, and you know what I thought of? She said, that announcer was talking about how cocky Houston got and how they were talking. And I said, oh, pride goes before destruction. And we were, you know, I'm not saying, guys, that games are fixed. But I just want you to know, be careful. Be careful with your acquaintances when they get cocky and they start telling you how things are going to be or whatever. Don't rejoice over that. You better pray for them, especially if you're on their payroll. Now, I want to talk to you just real quick about a hero sandwich, and that's on your notes. There's two little blanks there, and I'm calling this a hero sandwich because in between our recognition of fear and doubt are layered the power of God, and my admission that I am weak and is in need is praise to God. Ooh, please hear me. You know, sometimes I'll say, oh, God, you're worthy. Oh, God, you're worthy. Lord, isn't there more than I can do? And I really believe this is a key when I say, God, I can't do this without you. That's praise to him because it's glorifying and recognizing who he is. So sometimes when I feel like there's nothing more to say, I'll just begin to tell him who he is in my life. God, you're the one who keeps me from going off the deep end. God, you're the one, surely you've kept me from going insane when I thought these trials were going to overtake me. God, I want you to know that I recognize everything that I've done, God, has only been because of your grace and mercy. God, if there was anything good, surely it was you helping me to get over me to get to you, right? Oh, he's so good. And I like this quote from D.L. Moody. He said, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. So we're going to go back now, and I've made some places for you on your notes in case you want to take a few notes of what I'm going to say. But guys, I'm going to go really quick tonight because there's so much meat in this story. But I want to read again to you verses 1 and 2. It says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Menuhites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. They were actually from Edom, so some places they'll call them Edomites. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It's already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. So, boy, they're sending word over that, look, you know, they don't have text. So by the time the word gets to him, they've traveled. They're already moving. And so he knows there's going to be a battle. It's coming, and I need to get ready. Pay attention. Pay attention, those who love the Lord, because there's going to be a battle against you, even if you didn't provoke it. Because you love him, there's going to be a battle against you. It's going to come. People are going to come up with stuff, okay? You can do everything right according to men's ways. But when you're following after God and you're giving him credit, I'm telling you, there's going to be a battle that's going to come against you, even if you didn't provoke it. Verse 3 says, alarmed, not, oh, calm, cool, and collected, but alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. What I want you to know here is that fear will drive you to where your trust is placed. Fear is going to drive you to where your trust is placed. So I don't have to worry about the trial. Because that trial is just going to give me more confidence in God if I'm trusting in Him. Who's with me? But that fear can also make me realize there are dark places in me that need to grow up and mature to trust Him more. Because He's not doing what He's doing to hurt me. He's doing what He's doing to grow me up. And that while you may see this on the outside, I got some roots that are going down deeper through the Spirit into the things of God, because there's something that this world can't answer for me in my growth. And I have to go down deeper in the things of the Spirit and be rooted to where I find the nutrition that comes from the rich soil that He's planted me in. When you serve Jesus, you are not planted in weak, powerless soil, but you are planted in soil that has richness and nutrition, and it's taking you to water that will feed the thirst for you, and it's anchoring you so that when the waves and the winds come, guys, you're going to stand. I want to tell you, I watched this doctor from Tennessee who built a house down there on Miami Beach, and they were showing every other house but his stood. Did anybody else see this report? And it was a big old giant house. And they talked to him. And they said it really, his house, the way it was built, looked like some kind of infrastructure of a bridge. And he had these windows he had paid all this money for that were going to take up to 240 mile an hour winds. And out of all these windows on this house, one had a spider crack and one was burst. But on the inside, it was double lined. There was another window. And he talked about how these poles weren't wood, that they were concrete, and they went down 28 feet, but they stood 40 feet tall. Yeah, and they had these giant bolt things in them. And I'm watching this man with passion as he says, you need to know what you're facing so you're protected for it, so you're ready for it. And I was like, I'm hearing that in the Spirit. Go down deep. Don't be worried about it, guys, because fear is going to drive me. Fear is going to align you and me where our trust is placed. If my trust is placed in this government, I'm in trouble. If my trust is placed in my employer, I'm in trouble. If my trust is placed in my blood family members, I'm in trouble. Because I'm going to tell you, there's times I've seen what I call the shark feeding go on. You know, they see blood, want somebody, well, here's a little morsel about this one. And they just chew them up and devour them. And I'm telling you, I don't like it. I don't want to be a part of it. But if it's your blood and you don't get a part of it, then they, you know, well, you think you're so good. You think, you're just like, look, no, I'm just trying to keep my hand clean. Y'all go head on. I don't need to be in this mess, right? Because, listen, I got enough of my own stuff I gotta deal with. So in verse 5, he says, then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and all the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. This is so good. You got to make a stand. You got to make a stand. Say it with me. You got to make a stand. We're either going to be people of influence or people who influence those of influence. How many years have I been praying this prayer? Yeah, June, come on. Now, don't make it like I'm that old, but I'm just saying. It's been years. I know that the Lord laid this on my heart, and honestly, I'm pretty sure, you know, it was like around 2007 or 2008, and I've been praying this prayer, you know, Lord, make us people of influence or people who will influence those who have influence. And can I just tell you, something's coming up, and the Lord keeps opening doors for me, and I keep telling Him no. I'm like, God, come on now. I'm not equipped for it. Come on. Look, really? And every time He takes me back to the Word, and I'm like, okay, all right, Jesus, I'll do this. And I go a little further, and I'm like, oh, God, Lord. And so I made a list of other believers who could do this job. And I was like, I'm gonna call them, and I'll see if they're interested because, you know, and I'm teaching you this message. You with me on having to eat it first? And He says you need to make a stand. It is significant that we make a stand because a stand means you're unashamed. So make a stand and pop off. You don't have to do that. Make a stand and give a look of superiority. You don't have to do that. Yesterday, I had to take Bernice to the doctor, and so the lady who draws the blood, whatever it is. Anyway, she came in to draw the blood, and I said, hey, I'm not trying to tell you business. I just want to give you a reminder. When you go up here on her, her veins roll. And most of the time you have to do two or three times, and we always end up down here. So you might want to just start down here today. So she's looking at it. Well, this one looks big, but it rolls. So I didn't say anything. So she said, now I'm thinking this one looks better. I said, you go ahead. You're the one who knows what you're doing. She looked at me. She said, you're going to say I told you so. I said, I will never do that. I said, my husband will tell you. I don't tell him I told you so, and I'm not going to tell you. I don't want nobody telling me that. And she's like, okay. So sure enough, 2, 3, rolling. And she looked at me, and she said, well, I was wrong. I said, that's okay. You thought you were doing the right thing. Went down here. Look, it doesn't mean, this is what I'm telling you guys, we don't have to be right about things, but neither do I stand and act arrogant. I'm telling you, when you're in a situation where somebody wants you to compromise and get involved in fear, doubt, or wrongful passions, stay with me. When they want you to do that, you don't have to go, well, y'all need to get saved. Y'all need Jesus. I'm the one. Don't puff yourself up. All you have to do is say, you know, that's just not anything I'm interested in. I've made some commitments in my life. I've learned a few lessons. And I say things like that to let them know you're going to have to learn a lesson, that this isn't the best way. I'm not afraid to say that, but I'll say, y'all go ahead on and, you know, peace be still, right? But when you make a stand for what you believe, it's saying I'm unashamed and you're going to lead someone. You're going to lead somebody. Now, the problem with the world is they don't want you making a stand because they don't want to hear in their conscience that they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. And when you do it, they're going to try to make you look bad so they can feel better. Oh, y'all don't even know about that. Okay, well, maybe it's just me. But the other interesting thing about verse 5 is the courtyard. The courtyard was a fenced area. It was open, but it was fenced, and it was surrounded the tabernacle because, you know, they couldn't go in there. But it was an altar of burnt offerings were here, and around that fence was made of hewn rock and cedar. Now, I think that's important because rocks that were hewn meant somebody had to work that thing. Y'all, they ain't got none of these water diamond cutting saws up in here. You know, it's like chisel, chisel, smooth work. It was craftsmanship. It was somebody investing in the rock because their investment in the rock was going to bring a protection. Listening? And we really believe that there are those who believe that the cross was made of three different woods, but that one of them was cedar. And I just want to tell you something. Anybody in here ever know that when you got moths and all these things that you want cedar wood because it keeps those pests out, right? So I'm just saying, I think that everything in the Bible is not just a coincidence. I think there's a reason for it. So he wanted this to work out. But the significance is when you stand, you become a leader. And we all need to be leading someone, even if it's ourselves. Did you ever make a stand, like even in church, when, you know, the music's going and you see one or two people standing up, and all of a sudden you feel like, I want to do that too. And you're just like, ooh, I can't do that because, you know, I'm going to look like I'm just a freak. Can't be doing that, you know. And all of a sudden something in you rises and you just do it. And something lifts off of you because it's a supernatural surrendering to God where you put your spirit over your flesh. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But it leads. And I want to tell you, I'm unashamed of my grandkids. I want them to hear me praying and touching the throne room of God. And I'm unashamed. And when I get in the prayer room, I get loud. I'm not going to lie. It's hard for me when we have corporate prayer to be quiet. Because I get loud. I'm talking to him. He's with me. I'm unburdening myself. I'm telling him, you know, Lord, here it is. God, yes. And, you know, I'm trusting you. And when Charity was a little girl, I would teach her. I'd say, raise your hands and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And, oh, we'd go through the stores. And when Leah came, I'd say, raise your hands, say, praise the Lord. You know, we'd do something. And we'd get a bargain. I'd say, ooh, praise the Lord. And those little girls just, praise the Lord, you know. And so one day we were in Mervyn's, is how old we were, and we were in Mervyn's, and Jake was just a baby, and I had to take some clothes back for him because, yeah, he was born into six-month clothes, yeah, 10 pounds, 1 ounce, yeah. Had these little tiny six-pound girls, bam! So anyway, we were taking some clothes back, and we were in there, and so Charity's singing, "Yes, Jesus Loves Me." And this lady comes around the corner, and she has tears in her eyes. She said, "I have not heard that song in years." And Charity, she just lifted her hands and started singing it, and she was so proud, and she got louder, and two or three people drew, and old Leah was like, "Hey, you're getting attention." She stood up and lifted her hands, and they started singing this song, and the most beautiful thing happened. My phone rang, and the ringtone was "God Is Able." And I'm telling you guys, listen, people were motivated by that music. And so Charity called me the other day, and she said, "Mom, you're not going to believe what happened." I was like, "What?" She said, "Well, Connor was in class," and Connor's in the seventh grade. And she said they were studying about Egyptian gods. And so they had to fill out all these questions about, you know, they're learning about other countries and cultures, and so they had to fill this out. And she said when they finished, his teacher called me and told me the story. She said, I want you to know what a fine job you're doing raising Connor. She said, at the end, when I finished, everybody closed their books. And she said, he stood up and he called her name and said, I have something I'd like to say. He stood up. And she said, "What is it?" He said, "I know we have to learn this in school, but I want you to know there is only one God. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's only one King, and his name is Jesus." And he said, "And I want you to know, that's who we serve, and that's who we love." And she said, he sat back down. And she said, a hush came over the whole classroom. And she said, "Now after class, I heard some kids teasing him about it." She said, "But he was immoved. Stay with me when you make a stand. You still with me?" So when he made that stand, the teacher told Charity, she said, "I want you to know, I went home and I told my husband, we need to be in church." She said, "We've drifted away from church, and we need to stay close to this teaching, because I had a young man stand up in my class and remind me who we are and who we serve." Now, I want to tell you something. You may think that you're inadequate, but there's somebody over you in higher places who needs to hear what we have to say. And when we implant that in our children and they see the effects of it, not the fake, not the hype, not "I'm better than you," but when they see the reality and the love of it, other people will be changed, because that is how he works. So make a stand. Now I want to read verses 6 through 12 again. Y'all, when I cry, I just get a mess. I'm so sorry. But you know, the Bible does say that the anointing will increase from generation to generation. And I want to tell you something, and I'm talking to you, Pete. People may look at you and say, "Well, look at what your parents do, and how come that isn't over you?" But I want to tell you something. You're a braver man. Your light is shining brighter where you are than if you were on the mission field. And wisdom that God has implanted in you, Pete, that no man can come against. And don't you deny it, and don't make an excuse for it, and don't feel bad about it. Because the day's coming, Pete, when they're going to come to you for advice, and you'll be ready because you've proven it by love. All right. "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is of heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel gave it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your son, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we'll stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance." I'm hearing this in the spirit. Whatever the inheritance is that God has given you, don't you give it up, but you seek God on how to protect it. Your children are your inheritance. You don't have to fix them, but you seek God because he's going to take care of it. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Let me make these points. He's talking about prayer. This is a prayer he's giving. He's coming in and he's saying, Lord, listen, we need to turn our questions to prayer because this is praise. Here's what I can't do. Here's what I know you've done. I don't have an answer, but I'm looking. That is the highest form of praise because that means you're giving him credit as God Almighty. Now, Lord, I've got a little suggestion here. How about if we send some people to go up, you know, and we've got these bows and arrows that we made that have this special poison on the tips. Let us go up and get their guards first till we scare them, and then they'll be scared because they'll find them dead, and then we'll, no. God, I don't have a clue how I'm going to do this, but I know you have all wisdom and power. So he's coming in here, and he's unashamed. Praise. Others need to hear that their fear is exposed to God because what seems so great and insurmountable in the darkness of our minds, when exposed to the light of God's greatness, faithfulness, and ongoing power, it reduces fear and it releases praise. And praise is an energizer to faith. So fear, there's a potential energy in fear. It has a potential to do something. But when you use fear with the fear of the Lord saying, I recognize God, nothing's bigger than you. Anybody in here ever face something that you just really thought there was no way out of it? Amen. Thank you, three honest people in the sanctuary tonight. Yes, because here's what happens. Fear has a potential energy to it. But when we put praise with fear, if you cowardly lion, but he got what he wanted. You with me? Because he doesn't say pray pretty. He doesn't say pray with great strength and human stability. Pray. And what happens is fear that could be a potential thing to take your energy away from God can become, with praise, a kinetic energy that releases something in you and exposes fear and says, I am not going to fear this anymore. And I want to tell you, I'm big on this right now. Stay with me because I'm believing it. I just believe with God there's only plan A. I don't believe there's plan B, C, and D. I think that's human made. So everything I'm going through, I have to recognize God has a purpose for it. And when you get in agreement with, well, I never should have married that thing. Now I'm chained up to that now. And I shouldn't have done it. So I'm going to get away. I'm going to work away according to the scripture to get out of this. Have you ever thought that that thing you're chained to is the thing that God is sending to increase your faith so that your fear becomes potential and kinetic, and then you've got this power and this energy working, and when you overcome you get to Jesus, and when Jesus gets in it, that's when the whole thing changes, because there's things we cannot do, and one of them is change another person, but there's something that Jesus can do, and it's change anybody. And when you get you out of it, he can get in it. So, yes, verse 10 through 14. So let me just read verses 13 through 14. So all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. I've already explained to you about Asaph. You know that he was the one who went out before the armies and sang. But here's what I want you to see. And I've got 3 points on this that I want to give you from verses 10 through 14. Number one, the faithfulness to obey God will revisit you in the future. See, he was a descendant of these people. And if Asaph hadn't have fought that battle and it hadn't been recorded, there's a revisiting that's coming. When you're going through trials and you trust God, that's going to speak to someone in the future. When you go through trials and you turn away from God and you decide how it's done and everybody has to pay the price for it because we're leading somebody, that's going to be revisited too. And I want to tell you, mercy and grace will let you revisit it so you can find him. Revisit means what you didn't get over in the past, you're going to keep having that issue until you get over it. Does that make sense now?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Light bulbs are going on over June, y'all. She's going to light the way tonight. So faithfulness is a seed that you plant, and it's not a trip to the farmer's market to shop. Faithfulness is a seed that you plant. I plant my trust in this place of worry, and I'm not going to the farmer's market of faith and saying, oh, I'm going to take a little bit of, you know, John 3:16 and give me a little bit of Hebrews 10:38-39 and give me. No. It's a seed that is planted in me, and it will produce fruit, and it will bring life. And the kind of life he brings in, the kind that has to be pumped up and inflated and faked, it's a kind that's real. And like we talked about the soil of him, it is life-giving, and it will produce seeds in you that will be reproduced later. Because you're reproducing something. Okay. So he is faithful, the Bible says, as we are faithful. The word will not return void. Those are scriptures you know. Second thing I want you to see out of 10 through 14 is that distress is a welcome mat to the presence of God. Your distress is a welcome mat to the presence of God. He says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things, Jeremiah 33:3, that you don't even understand. But distress is what makes me call out. Who's with me? Everything going good. You know, you all your bills are paid. You don't have to worry. You got a little money set aside. So if something comes up, you're thinking, I'm pretty confident. I'm going to get on autopilot. Yeah, Jesus. You know, you take the back seat. You rest. I got this. Yeah. And then distress is going to come. And it's the welcome mat to the presence of God, because we cry out when we have distress and say, God. God help me. God help me. And I'm going to tell you something. You better perk up and listen here. Hatred is a tool of the devil. You better be careful. Because when you're planting hatred, you're going to revisit it back on you. You with me? It'll come back to you. Okay. The third thing I want you to see is that recognizing who we are in comparison to God is a really good thing. There is no shame in admitting you're weak. And the world wants to tell you the exact opposite. But I don't go out to the people who want to destroy me and say, I'm weak. I go to the Lord and I say, God, I'm weak. My faith is weak. He's not afraid of your truth. Truth is something he can get in agreement with, because when I speak truth, I'm speaking Jesus. I'm getting intimate with him. That seed is being watered with truth, because he is the truth. So he's coming out of me. And I say to him, God, here's the thing, God, I don't want to do this, because, you know, people are evil, and if they want to be evil, they're going to make something bad, and I don't want to ever be a reproach to the church or, you know, to anybody in the church. And Lord, I sure don't want to have to be the one to set people straight. I want to set people free. And the more I begin to tell him that, the more he pours in my heart the confidence that I need that, Gay, I'm with you. Or, hey, you know what? You need to back off that thought. Hey, don't have the answer. Don't come to him and say to him, well, God, here's the plan. So I see this problem. So here's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to, and I just want you to bless that, because Lord, I see the way to the finish line. There is no finish line to you in heaven. Quit looking for the finish line and start walking this race. And if all you can do is stand, he says, stand. I've already preached this message. You get a checkered flag when you enter the race of the Lord. You don't get it at the end. You got victory at every lap you take. And if I want to stand and just rest and say, God, I'm not hearing you. Let me just stand here till you need something to say to me. because I'm not going any further because I don't want to blow this. I'm still waving a checkered flag. My position is firm with him. So he comes in, but I don't need to be ashamed in admitting that I'm weak, because pride comes in and it overinflates your ego and it deflates your God confidence. So that was 10 through 14. Y'all, I'm just not going to have time to finish this the way I want to, but I am going to make this point. Jerry, you're my favorite man right now. Jerry, come on now. All right. Verse 15. Go with it. And he said, listen, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Okay, he set a foundation. Okay. Then he says to him, tomorrow march down against them, and they will be climbing up in the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeril. And you will have to fight this. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Here's your hero sandwich. Here's your hero sandwich. Because you know what our text was at the beginning? There's a private place reserved for the lovers of God where they sit near him and receive the revelation secrets of his promises. Rescue me, Lord, for you're my only hero. Yeah, here's your hero sandwich. You got fear, you got discouragement. You got it coming and you got it going. You got it at the top and you got it at the bottom. In this world, you're going to have trouble. In this world, you're going to have trial and tribulations. Guys, if you want to talk, you need to go somewhere else, okay? So here's the thing. You're coming in and you got trials and you got tribulations coming and going. But in the middle, he's saying to you, stand firm. You're going to see the salvation of your God. He's saying, stand firm. I'm not asking you to say something. I'm not asking you to fight. I'm asking you to stand and show me who your confidence is in. And here's your sandwich. Because fear and doubt are going to be the thing, whether you're coming or going, that it's going to hold you and press you into the places of God where he's going to bring you a victory. I want you to say to the enemy, when he presses you with fear, when he brings you discouragement and doubt, I want you to say, looky here, I'm fixing to get a hero sandwich because the Lord's fixing to do something in the middle of this mess. So whether I'm coming into it or I'm going from it, I can stand and say, my God is with me and he will not fail me. I recognize my weakness, and to you, oh God, let that be a song of praise, because there's only one plan, and it's plan A. And whatever the world brings to you, he's got a way through it, and the way through it is going to be a way that will bless you, that will increase you, that will solidify your roots and your inheritance in God. I rebuke and I bind off of you every word from the world that says, you need to do this, and this is going to make it better. Oh, this is this for you, and it's going to be better. Make up your mind who you're going to listen to, the Word of God or the world, because you're going to be tormented when you stand in between two positions. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, do it. Yeah, do it. God, I just want to thank you right now because I'm conflicted. God, I'm hearing all these reports. I'm listening to all these people, God, and they're telling me, no, I don't go into him and tell him what other people say. You can tell him if you're scared. You can tell him if you're afraid. But fear and doubt and discouragement are not going to get you out. Telling the Lord that you're scared, telling him how it is. Listen, they didn't deserve what was coming on them. They could have destroyed them when they were coming out of Egypt. We've already studied this before, you guys. You're with me, you know. Every battle the Lord gave them. But they didn't go after these guys. They let them live. And they're saying, man, we could have destroyed them. Hear me now. The world don't care. The world don't care what you do for them. Because they're not going to be happy till you're gone, because you're a reminder to them that they need to buckle up and follow God, and they don't want to do that because they're happy living in the pleasures of this world. Now, before we go on, I'm just going to finish up with this. Oh, there's so much more. I might have to come back and revisit this and finish this lesson. Just saying to you guys, here's the deal. Verse 16. You got to face it. And some of you are tonight are saying, how can I face this? How can I face this battle? I rebuke off of you and renounce now every word that has said you can't overcome what somebody did to you. It's a lie. I rebuke and I renounce off of you, 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 you. I rebuke that off of you, that somebody's holding you prisoner. Because if that's the truth, Jesus is a liar. And if Jesus is a liar, you're going to be a friar. Y'all with me? Just saying. There's no hope. Gay, how do I do this? I'm going to skip to the end of this message. I'm going to answer this for you. I'm so conflicted about all this, you know, because you're telling me here's the 100% guarantee, and I can't even get to that part of the message. But we're praying according to His will. What is His will? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Look in your Bibles on page 837. 2 Thessalonians, we're going to look at 5, 16, 17, page 837. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Circumstances. You're going to have people who are going to come against you the rest of your life, and baby cakes, the world don't owe you a blessing. You're going to have trouble as long as you're in this world. And if you keep blaming it on a person, the devil is going to laugh at you for the rest of your life because you bought into it. Because ain't nobody more powerful than Jesus. And as Steve taught Sunday on forgiveness, I want to reiterate to you, forgiveness won't change your past, but baby, it'll light the way to your future. And he says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I don't know what God's will is. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We just read it. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're going to be joyful. Maybe you need to laugh about it. See, he says sometimes when people are depressed, he'll bring them in his office and just show them the weirdest YouTubes, and they'll just laugh, and they'll say, I don't know what happened, but I'm feeling better now. It's because you get out of serious mode. You get out of fear mode. He says, but pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. That's why there's a plan A. God, I don't understand this. I'm fearful. I don't want to do this. This is nothing I wanted. You with me? God, I didn't want to go through this. I didn't ask them to hurt me. I've been so good. I've been so kind. And I'm having to go through this. And, you know, but Lord, I'm trusting you. That's the highest form of praise you can give, is recognizing him in your weakness and bringing him in. You know how I know? Because when we do this, we are speaking the language of heaven. Because they're walking around the throne and they're saying, all praise to him who is mighty, who reigns and rules. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we bless you. And when I begin to say that, I'm speaking the language of heaven. Heaven is hearing me. I'm talking heaven talk. And they're like, oh, do you hear that? Somebody's in agreement with us. Because, Lord, I'm trusting you. So when I don't understand this, I'm going, my mind automatically is going to go to plan B. Let's get a way out of this. Let's figure, okay, go ahead and call and see if somebody else will do this for you. Because, you know, they're probably holier. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Right? And the devil loves for you to sound spiritual because then you convince yourself you know more than God. Oh, Gay, you shaking that bush tonight. Yes, I am. But there's some good fruit that's going to fall from this bush. And the word says unless the seed falls into the ground and dies, it can't produce anything. And I'm telling you, I want to shake your fear. I want to shake your doubt. We're going to let it fall out. We're going to let the seed go in and die to your will, to the love of this world and its pleasures, because it's wanting to suck the life out of you and you think it's feeding you. No, no. And I want you to know the truth. Don't get holy on me, friends. That's what we need to be, is holy. But don't be holy like the world. Because that's religious nonsense. Holiness is, I trust you. I'm wanting to obey you. I'm listening to you. I'm standing with my checkered flag, believing, God, that you're going to intervene. And this is not plan B. The devil did not slip one by on you. This is happening in my life because I will be a testimony of your faithfulness, and my kids are going to come out with me. And like it or not, you're my kids. And I don't care if you're older than me. You're my kids because I love you. And that's what I do. So here's the deal. Oh, I'm going to be holy. You know, don't wear any makeup. You know, don't wear, by all means, don't wear pants. You can't be a woman and be holy in pants. Let me tell you something. The world never dictated my holiness, and the world's never going to dictate it again. But whether I wear what pleases the world or I wear what my conscience tells me is the right thing to do, I'm going to be doing it for the Lord. So if y'all see me in some little, you know, psychedelic jumpsuit, y'all just need to know I'm going to some party trying to minister to somebody. Y'all with me? All right. But don't get holy on me about that outside stuff. Because holiness starts on the inside. And then you'll show it on the outside. So don't get freaked out about the will, because that's his will. In this section, I see that he wants us to be praying for God's will. He wants us to realize this, that praising is God's will, and to pursue God's will. Thankful. I'm just so thankful. Did you ever think you could be thankful for something bad happening? You can. You can. You ask people who've been in wrecks and something happened and it paid the bill for something else. Right? You ask people who somebody betrayed them that they had their trust and love in, and they were so hurt, and 10 years later they see where that person is and what God saved them from. Because you don't know the future, but he does. And until you quit telling him your future, he's not going to answer you, because you got all the answers. So I've learned he's going to let me come to the end of me, and he'll be waiting. That's your promise. And that's a good thing. Oh, y'all, I didn't get to finish. Okay, that's all right. Stand with me tonight. I can 100% guarantee you that when you pray like Jesus did, Father, not my will, but yours be done, I'm guarantee you're going to get a good answer. Now, Steve says the short notes of this message is, I can give you 100% guarantee he's going to say yes and he's going to say no. That's your guarantee. Here's the guarantee I'm going after. When you pray his will, you don't have to take care of you. He will. And if you fear and you doubt him, that's the enemy who wants to separate you from the love and the goodness of God and hold you back with your rights, with what's due you, and what the world says you need. And the world is a liar. We're going to stand tonight. We're going to trust the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to trust the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. I'm unsure. Yeah. Thank you. Do you know when he said in that scripture that we read that Jehoshaphat bowed down when the victory came? He bowed down. Look, I don't care if that's Episcopal. I don't care if that's Methodist. I don't care if they're quiet, because he says the Levites and the one came behind him with a loud praise. Well, here come the Pentecostals pulling up the rear. That's okay with me. However you need to do it, let's just get the job done. Are you with me? Are you with me in loving the Lord tonight? Father, we just lift this before you, God. Lord, I trust you. I want to thank you, God, that fear and doubt are going to yield to who you are in my life. And God, tomorrow I may have to replay this message and re-eat the leftovers. But God, I'm trusting you.